Once I went into this sort of more running the business role, you've just got to change your mindset too. At first, I didn't realize, but you really just have to know that all the problems are going to come to you and you just need to keep fixing them. I thought everything could run smooth and I'd keep running the business, but really you're just a problem fixer.
Problem solver, absolutely.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time, like I guess because I run the business, I'm readily available on my phone. So I have like a focus really heavily on like a really high level of customer, you know, looking up, making sure I'm really proactive with everything and really reachable, try and make life as easy as I can for all our clients. I think for a bunch of them, that's like a game changer. That's the defining thing they want. Not everyone, but a chunk. It's a reasonable chunk that like appreciate that beyond anything. That's all they want. Yeah.
So Mitchell, thank you very much for joining us today on the Jim's Mulling podcast. And you're from Jim's Mulling in Cardiff, which is up in the Central Coast, Newcastle area. And you've been with us since 2015. And yep. I always jump on and have a look at, you know, people's go through some notes and the ratings. And you've got a perfect 5-star rating at 187 ratings since starting, which is quite amazing to keep that in so for so long. And yeah, let's just first of all start up for talking a little bit about yourself and what you were doing prior to Jim's Mulling.
I used to be an electrician. I worked at a company called Sandvik. We built a lot of the mining machinery. I did that for about 8 years. I did my apprenticeship for them and then I was tradesman there for a while, but eventually I got made redundant. So I looked into some different options and I always liked working outdoors. So I ended up with Jim's.
And what was it about Jim's Mulling at the time? Because you might have been looking at a few other things and you're changing from a different career. So what was it about Jim's Mulling? Was it just the outdoors factor or what was it?
Yeah, I've always sort of wanted to be my own boss, I suppose, just run things the way I want to run them. Didn't really want to stick around the electrician industry. There's nothing too wrong with it, but you could either earn okay money or you could earn good money, but the sacrifice was your lifestyle. I wanted to have the opportunity to be able to earn reasonable money, but still have a good lifestyle. And I always liked doing, you know, around my own yards. I've always had decent size, well, not like huge, big residential properties, I suppose. I've always done a fair bit of gardening around them and always enjoyed it. So Jim's come up and sort of tossed up whether to go independent or do it by myself. But it just seemed like Jim's just got a good system. They just, if you're in the mowing industry, everyone knows Jim's in Australia. And I like their attitude. I like how their focus is just on always doing that, you know, right by the customer, the client. I think that's a good way to be. And it shows, I guess, like being that sort of dominant name out there.
Absolutely. And now let's talk about your business. So you've been with us since 2015. So 8 years is a great achievement to be for any business. So let's talk about, where's your business currently at? Do you have employees or how's it, how many customers or how are you going with that?
Yeah, no, I usually run 2 crews in winter and then 3 to 4, not really 4, but like we're probably on the cusp of that happening this year throughout the growing season.
So when you say crews, do you have 2 people at a time or is it just 1 person and you, or how do your crews operate?
Oh yeah, so they're usually, I try and do 2-man crews as much as possible, not because it's definitely not more profitable, but I think it creates a much better working environment. I'm sort of trying to create like an environment where you get sustainable employees that want to stick around, which is pretty hard in this industry, I think. It's a pretty hard job. And I guess a lot of people get in their mind, they might want to try and start their own business. I guess they can find out how easy or hard that is when they do it. But yeah, so I'm working it. I don't know. It's still in progress, I suppose, but just trying to create that environment where people want to stay around. I'm working pretty hard at it for a couple of years now. It gets better and better every year, I suppose.
But what things have you been trying? Because this is really good insights to get from someone like yourself, because a lot of franchisees want to scale up, they want to put on employees, but obviously there's obviously a lot of issues and stuff that can come with that. So what are some things you've been trying to build that longevity into your employees besides obviously sending them out in twos?
I think I've worked out pretty quickly that a lot of people think they want more money. Money doesn't mean anything to most, you know, like you need to earn your money and make a living. But earn a bit more doesn't seem to make them any happier. You need to just create a better balance in there, I think. Well, while they're still earning decent money, you know, doing decent work, like we don't typically take on the job where somebody didn't mow their lawn for 12 months. I just think there's good money in it for sure, but it's just too hard to work and it just turns away. When I'm focusing on employees being happy, I've got to think that way. So I try and get jobs that are going to keep them happy. I tried to bring in some bonus sort of programs, but I'm not convinced that they're going to work yet. I've sort of, you know, that what's his name? Mike
Anderson.
Yeah. I kind of like his concept. Well, what I like the most about what he does is how his theory is it'll create employees that operate like bosses. So they're always going to look for better ways, quicker ways to do things, because then if they can do the job efficiently, they'll earn better money. But so far, I haven't successfully bought anything in like that. But that's where that's one of the things I'd like to do. I'm just mindful that every time you sort of throw a bit more money at them, you have to expect a bit more out of them. And I don't think it necessarily makes them any happier. So got to like balance that. I look after them pretty well in winter too. So I could get rid of more people in winter and still get through the work. But instead, I sort of like quite often on Fridays, I'll pay for them to have the day off or come in for 2 hours, so they'll still get the full day. I think in this industry, you just put your efforts into making, you know, doing well in the growing season. And as long as you're getting through winter, you're okay. Like, we could do well in winter now, but instead I choose to look after everybody and try and keep everyone on.
Well, you've just said some really good insights, you know, some fantastic advice. And I love what you said about that you won't take on any jobs that might, you know, you're looking after the jobs for your employees, whereas most people might go, oh, we're going to take anything and everything and I'm going to flog my employees and that's it. But you're actually taking specific jobs, or you're not doing specific jobs that you know your employees might not, you know, be accustomed to, or might take too much of a toll on their body. So that must go a long way with them going, geez, he's looking after us here, you know. Whereas if you're purely about profit, you might be going, we're going to do every cleanup and all these big things, which can absolutely drain people all the time. So it's really, they must appreciate that. Is that the feedback you get from them, that they know you're doing that, or is that something you don't tell them? Or
they're probably not as aware of what's happening as they, you know, that they, I don't think I let them know, but I don't think they fully appreciate what would happen if I just took every single job that come our way, what they would be doing. I don't cherry pick them too bad, but they've got to be pretty bad to say no. Like, I think generally with the lead system, if you take a lead, you should do the work. But yeah, sometimes they come through as a mow reg, and it's really just a mow once, and it's going to take you 12 hours to do the job, and it's just hard yak of a whole day. So I won't put them through that kind of situation.
And the stuff you said about winter is fantastic as well, looking after them, even though, you know, financially might not be the best thing, like, you know, purely that's like a people focused approach. And I think that goes a long way with people. I think that's great to hear that you do that. I think that's really awesome, and looking forward to sharing that. I was going to say as well, Mitchell, with your business, is when did you go from the sole trader to having an employee, and how was that like in the early days doing that shift?
How long ago? Maybe like I had my first employee 6 years ago or so. Yeah, I've always probably put on people a little bit quicker than I really need to, just to take away, you know, you could hold out longer and everything would be very stressful. Whereas I've sort of had the approach that when you can do it, do it. You know, if you can get them trained up, it all sort of works in your favor without having a lot of stress, I suppose. Employees, I didn't appreciate the stress that would come with them. It's far easier to work by yourself. There's no stress when you're actually doing a job out there. Now I spend my whole day, I usually spend half my day quoting and then half my day doing all the administration I need to do. That'll be typically a 10-hour day or more, which is more than I used to do when I was mowing lawns, but it's just what it is. You've got to do things right. There's a lot of, the more focused you are on doing things right and looking after people, the more work it creates really for me. But yeah.
Are you enjoying it though? It's the main thing.
Yeah, I've had some horrendous moments. So I had about three years ago, I got a bit unlucky with employees and I lost a few at once. And it ended up just being me and one other guy working most of the growing season. It was just as COVID hit, so you couldn't employ people. They were too good. We could, you know, they were in that $750. And we ended up for a whole growing season mowing lawns monthly, which didn't go well. Not complaints because we weren't there, but more lots of overgrown lawns that means that you can't get through your work as quick, and it was quite bad. I ended up losing about a third of my clients, which was quite, you know, don't blame them. It was a horrible situation to be in. It taught me a lot about, like, dealing with tough times. I hadn't sort of been through something like that before. But you come out the other end eventually if you keep working at it. Things are going real smooth now. They're going good.
But the other thing, just to keep going then, just obviously it was a really tough time for it, but you just kept head down and kept going and kept moving forward. And then obviously, as you said, it turns around, and that's the best sort of bit of advice you can give for someone to do that. Or what would you sort of?
Yeah, don't get too wound up in those times when you're like, stuff this, I'm out. They're not always going to be like that. But it seems that you either have really good times or really bad times. There's not really many what do you call it, just easy, neutral times. I think that's just business. My dad's always been in business and he sort of said the same thing. You know, you have your bad years and you have your really good years, but they all average out over time. And
yeah, it's definitely riding a wave, isn't it? I know in training they sort of tick, you know, that sort of whole hand movement where there is ups and downs, and when there's a down, you got to keep going and you get back up.
Yeah, yeah. You just, once I went into this sort of more running the business role, you've just got to change your mindset too. At first I didn't realize, but you really just have to know that all the problems are going to come to you and you just need to keep fixing them. I thought everything could run smooth and I'd keep running the business, but really you're just a problem fixer.
Problem solver, absolutely.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time, like, I guess because I run the business, I'm readily available on my phone. So I have I focus really heavily on like a really high level of customer, you know, looking up, making sure I'm really proactive with everything and really reachable. I try and make life as easy as I can for all our clients. I think for a bunch of them, that's like a game changer. That's the defining thing they want. Not everyone, but a chunk. It's a reasonable chunk that like appreciate that beyond anything. That's all they want. Yeah.
Are you doing anything differently? Because you got a perfect customer service rating with Cruise. So that's not easy to maintain because you're obviously responsible for their work in the field. So how are you maintaining the customer service stance amongst the Cruise?
You got to be just super proactive. Like, we're not perfect. We get things wrong for sure. But I think depending how you handle when you make mistakes, you can actually turn them into like a client that'll just really want you from that point onwards. They just have faith that you always resolve anything. So I'm just really proactive now. If there's any issue, you know, half a chunk of the time, it's probably not really us, but you just take it and just go sort it out. It's a problem's over. You don't think about it again. Everyone's happy. I think you just got to have that attitude. Sometimes you just got to wear it a little bit. It'll work in your favor.
I was going to say as well, what are your training processes then for staff to maintain that quality control? Are you going out them personally for 2 weeks or how do you train them up?
I like getting, a guy once told me, he teaches, trains adults, and he said the best way for someone to learn is you train them and then you get them to train someone else. And when they train someone else, that's when they will refine all those skills they learn. It'll really sink it in. So I use that method. We do a little bit with them beforehand, but I've got guys that have been with me a few years, so I get them to go out with them. We use like software to everything's tracked, the times are tracked, jobs are tracked, there's photos everywhere of everything. So we can I can look back and see the history and see where there's issues and see who's creating them. And yeah, that documentation's important. Yeah, that's, I think, what makes the difference. Yeah.
And what do you use for your software system to manage that? So you're making people take photos after every job and it goes to somewhere where you can manage, or what software sort of system are you using to do it all?
I use ThoughtScape. There's like lots of options out there, like ServiceMate and, you know, Formatize you guys are using for a while. But I just think ThoughtScape's, it's more a simple interface and it works right. And I don't know whether it's an Australian company or not, but the guys that run that are like amazing. They're really proactive. Their customer service is like top notch, which you won't get from most of those other ones. You can bring up stuff that you think would be better or like how they could change their software to improve it. They'll respond with thoughtfully and like, you know, ask more questions. And sometimes they'll just, next week, there'll be that'll be updated. They'll create that, which I just think is amazing. So utilizing that, like LinkedIn with QuickBooks, can get me pretty well everything documented properly. I also use a company called Bright HR. They're sort of like a sibling company, I think, to EmployeeSure, and they're all based off WHS, like all your safety, making sure your systems are set up right. They can give you all the advice you need. So I've got them there too, which between those three, it seems like you can just tie everything in quite nicely.
So how does your day then look? Let's just sort of outline, because you're obviously working on the business, which is great. You know, a lot of guys want to get from that sole trader to employees and maybe to a position where they're doing what you're doing, which is quoting half the day and running the business from the office or wherever you're running it. So just want to talk about how do you sort of structure your day or your week? Like you've mentioned a few of these things, but I just want to try and get a clear plan or outline for these guys about the activities that as a business owner working on your business that you're doing, that they could, you know, that these are the things they need to start looking at or maybe learning to try and do.
So I suppose all day long, my phone's going to go off. I'm going to get calls, messages, emails. I try and as they come through, respond to them rather than just do it at the end of the day. You'll find there's a lot of providers out there that'll really like that. It makes a big difference to them. They can just resolve things quickly. But typically I get up, I start my day at about 7 and my guys turn up at about 7:30. So that first half an hour is just any little things that happened, you know, while I was asleep, any messages, just any little final adjustments I need to make. Guys get there about 7:30 and they sort of, we get all the cars packed. I go through their lists for the day and I send them off. Usually I've just got a few other little, just, you know, that, I don't know, just those little jobs that just pop up that I just can't control, I suppose. I do that for another probably hour after they leave. And then I'll usually shoot off and start doing quoting. And I'll probably quote from typically 9 to 12. It's probably pretty standard for me. And then I'll get home and I'll get into my admin. Admin consists of things like, you know, reschedule them the next day, you know, all your QuickBooks, like accounting. You've got to like make sure your invoices and all your transactions, receipts, all that sort of sorted. I have like, I also use Google Sheets and I've just made up like spreadsheets that will record employees' hours. So I can track like how they're going, like their hours to the what they're earning and see that average and over week. Yeah, I don't know. It's all just that last half of the day, which will be like 4 to 6 hours, is all just, it's just all paperwork. Yeah, like I work for a lot of like aged care providers, so there's quite a bit of administration to dealing with them. Each time you sign up to a new one and they need a heap of stuff, it'll take you a couple of hours, and so they have their way that they need things done. So you got to learn how everyone wants things done, and then you just sort of do it the way they want to do it. I know it makes your day a little bit harder, but it makes them so much happier that it's just so worth it. They'll just come to you by default after that. So I have a bunch of like aged care providers that'll just call me every time because it's just the customer service and that we do the right thing on the job.
And I was going to say as well, what's your key to quoting then? Because a lot of franchisees, especially when they start, struggle with quoting, or a lot of the times they unfortunately underquote and then they're stuck doing a job they sort of resent in a way because they've quoted it so cheap. So what's your key to quoting? Obviously doing it so much. What's your maybe best advice for people regarding that?
Oh, I think it's very, that's probably very particular to each person. So I do things that most people probably wouldn't want to do. I know Jim won't agree with this, but a lot of my gardening I'll do by the hour for regular clients. It's just so, there's so many clients and so many random gardening jobs around that if I had to go ahead and quote each one of them, I don't think I could get it done in like an 8-hour day. And it also works out better for them. It's usually a little bit cheaper. We earn the appropriate amount of money to still be successful at what we do. Yeah, with the mowing, I have a way I work it out. But I mean, it's dependent. Like everyone's going to have different equipment, different skill sets, different employees that work different ways. So I think the reality is you need to make a certain amount of money to be successful. And you can't, I don't believe in chasing, like just winning a job for the sake of winning it. I don't think it's worth it. Maybe in your early days it is, just to keep yourself busy. But once you're sort of set up, you need to win jobs in the right price bracket to be able to succeed. And once you've got employees, you're going to need to have your jobs higher. Like you're going to need to quote a little bit higher. There's going to be a bunch of issues you need to resolve in there. They're not going to be as good as what you were when you were out there. They're not, you know, they don't have the same like investment, I guess, in it.
I was about to say as well, the equipment that you run, obviously you've got to have, is there any particular brands you use or do you have any philosophies around the equipment with the guys you do? Or
I think people get worried about, say, the price of a self-propelled mower, whether it's at the moment, Hondas are probably loosely $2,000, but we don't use them anymore. Toros are probably about 2.5, and you can get the Skags now. They have a 5-horsepower and a 7-horsepower motor. I think the 7's about 3.3. So people think, oh man, 3.3 on a mower, like that's way too much. But if you break that down into the hours of use, it's like the cheapest thing ever. Like the cost is arguably irrelevant, big picture. Even if you're paying $5,000 for a mower, so long as you're, you know, looking after them, they're going to make their money back real quick. So we use, these days, I think I'm currently about to start buying those 7-horsepower Skags. I've got one of them. Before that, I was using the Toros. We've probably got about 8 of those, the 2298. So great mower. The Toro just, the Skag just, if you look at the Skag, I'm pretty confident the Skag company looked at Hondas, the 218?
HRU thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then they looked at Toros because they know they're the two that everyone kind of wants. And they created this combination of the two. It's kind of the best of both worlds. And then having the 7-horsepower, it just leaves them all for, you know, there's no mower that's comparable. So far, we're finding them to be great. We're also using Skag V-Rides, V-Ride 2s. We've got a 36 and a 32-inch of them. Walker, here's a Walker mower. Brush cutters, and I've noticed in the last couple of years, I think all these new compliance sort of rules have sort of changed the way the machines work, and they're just not, they don't last like they used to. They can't really handle being out in the rain. Like, you know, 8 years ago, you could just leave your equipment in the rain all day, every day, and it'd keep working and working and working. I'm finding now you need to probably keep it out of the rain wherever possible. We're having a lot of carby issues for a couple of years there. Now that we've started protecting it a bit more, it's all become pretty smooth. So at the moment, I'm liking Shindawas for brush cutters. Used a bunch of Stills, Redbacks. Shindawa just seems to be reliable, I suppose. Less issues down long term.
Great to hear. And I was going to say, how's the support then been from, obviously, you, from the sounds of it, from talking, you probably don't need as much support from your franchisor or anything like that, but how's the support been from Paul over the years? And what keeps you with Jim's Mowing Brand? Because obviously you're a really capable business person. So what keeps you with the Jim's Mowing Brand as well?
Paul's awesome. I think we're lucky to have him in our area. I think he's quite switched on to how it all works. And you can just ring him up whenever you need to. He'll either pick up then, or typically he'll get a call back like within 10 minutes, usually a message in between, just letting him know you're calling back. He's awesome. I don't need much off him. Typically, I just get the phone calls off him, just checking in most of the time. But occasionally, got asked for advice, and he's always got good answers. He's always all over it. He'll just send you something from his computer about it when he'd worked on it before. I guess initially those franchise fees felt like a bit, but now they're just like, we actually, in our area, Paul refunds us a chunk of our advertising money every month. Mm-hmm. If we put all our money into advertising, there'd be too many leads come through. It's already, it might be over 50% don't get service sort of thing. So I think I like having people call gyms because they know we'll do the right thing. They know we'll do the job. You know, there's just peace of mind there. You go independent, suddenly you're not going to have that. I'd say you're probably likely to pick up a little bit lower caliber leads where people are only focusing on the cheapest rate they can get. And I think you want to really get too involved in that. You want to find people that want to focus on, you know, how you do things, like doing a good job and making life easy for them. And they understand that because of that, it takes a bit more effort and you charge a little bit more, but they get more for it. And I just think you get more of that with gyms, is my guess. I don't know, the system's great. Like, it's just all there. It's a bit of a, running your own business, but a lot of the work's done in the background, and all that support being there is just huge. Yeah, really
great
huge.
That's great to hear. And I was going to say as well, what's the plan for then you? You know, you're going to be coming up to your 10 years in business really soon. Like, are you happy where the level you are? You want to expand, or what's your sort of goals moving forward with what you want to do?
My theory is I do want to expand, but we'll see. We'll keep going until it becomes too stressful, I think. I'm getting to the point now where probably shouldn't put off. I almost need someone to come and start doing administration. You have those days where my phone just will not stop all day, and I just don't get for anything but picking up phone calls and writing back the emails and that. And on those days, having an administration person would be gold. So another year down the track or something, I might be able to do that. And then that'll mean I can put even more time into quoting. I don't know. Got to find employees too, though.
And where are you getting your employees from? Facebook, is it ads online, or what are you doing?
In the early days, Facebook was pretty damn good. You get a lot of interest. These days, not many people respond. I think it's more market conditions than Facebook. I found my best employees through companies that kind of help people with disabilities, but they have disabilities technically, but not, you know,
Work providers. Yeah. Like, they might have someone who might be on the spectrum or something like that, and they can put them into, yep.
Yeah. So at the moment I've got two guys that have autism. They're quite amazing, actually. They got this sort of, they work different to other guys. Like, you know, my other guys, you've always got it. It's sort of like a wave that you pump them up, they come back down, you pump them up. But I mean, these other two guys, they take a bit longer to grab concepts, but as they grab them, they hold on to them and they maintain it. You just got to have the patience to work with them. I hired another guy a few years ago, and he come from one of those organizations, and he had depression, but he got depression from, you know, just being bedridden for a long time. And he was amazing. Like, he did really good quality work. All the clients loved him. it's hit or miss, like, of course, like, not everyone's going to work out, but I've just found a bit more stable employment going that way.
Must make you feel good, because I reckon I've interviewed a few franchisees who employ neurodiverse individuals, and we have a few times questions about this sort of stuff, and it's something that we don't overly put out there, but a lot of franchisees do it, and they have the same opinions as you. Like, you know, it's they work fantastically hard, and once they get the concept of it, they're fantastic employees, and obviously, you know, it's a good thing as well, and they've got some great employment. You get a great employee. It's a great win-win.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And usually with these, you can get a bit of help with the training, a little bit of a wage subsidy, which just helps a little bit, just takes the edge off. I guess, yeah, it seems, I mean, if they're happy, I'm happy, everyone's happy, I suppose.
I think it's a great thing to do, like you guys do. I think, I've interviewed a pool care guy, he's off-sider, he's on neurodiverse person, and he says he's fantastic. And it's just one of those things which is great to see our local franchisees like yourself and others in giving opportunities to people who might not get those same opportunities elsewhere. And it's great for them as well to work closely with a business owner like yourself, and it can inspire them maybe one day if they want to do their own business or something like that. I think it's fantastic what you guys do.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I know I pumped up there a little bit, but that's. I just think it's a great point to do, and hopefully we can clip it out there, because I think people need to realize a lot of the Jim's Mowing franchisees in general, it's more than 2,000 of them. You know, there's a lot of, we don't, it's not out there, you know, you don't go around saying, you know, look what we do, but I think it's a really important thing that people know. But a lot of our franchisees do take on neurodiverse individuals or people who might not get an opportunity at other employment opportunities. And it's a great thing that our franchisees do for the community. But I was going to say, Mitchell, how's, looking back on in the 8 years, what's the highlights been for you? Has it just been the lifestyle, or has it been you're happy with where you are, or what's sort of been the highlight for you over the 8 years? Has there been anything that stood out for you?
It's been a lot of, you know, there's been bad times and good times. There's a lot of hard work gone into it. So it's just you feel like you've accomplished something, you're doing something. All the issues that come up, I have control over to resolve how I think's right. I don't have to get caught up in too much politics like I would if I was an employee. Just, I like being able to, you know, I've just got the flexibility at the moment. You know, I do that, what we talked about, get the guys ready, a little bit of work, and then I shoot off and do quoting. But in between, before I go do quoting, I can always drop my daughter at childcare. If my partners can't do something but arvo, I can easily pick her up. It's always on me. You know, I like having that flexibility and not having to, have a boss that tells me that I can't do something or can or do it this way.
Like, like me, mate. So I'm in that position. So with Jim, but no, it's all good. But I was going to say, it's great to hear what you've done after, 8 years is not an easy thing to be in business. The stats show that after, 8 years, 10 years, not many people are in business still. So it's a pretty good achievement to be in business. And you've obviously built a really fantastic business for yourself and what you do. And it's great to hear as well, employing the neurodiverse individuals. I mean, it's a great thing as well. And you've obviously got an amazing system, because you've got a perfect star rating, which is not easy to maintain with a team of workers. It's definitely not. So well done to yourself, Mitchell, and thank you very much for taking, you pulled obviously on the side of the road there or to speak to us today. So we've got to leave you to it, because I hate to see your phone at the moment. So we've got to leave you to it, mate. And thank you very much for your time today, Mitchell. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, Matt, no problems.
No worries, mate. Have a great day, Mitchell.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131 546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.